And be sure to grab your Bibles as you take a seat this morning. You're going to want to open them up to the book of Matthew. We, of course, have been studying in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. But I'm going to have us kind of starting out in the book of Matthew today and spending a little bit of time there, because we're going to take a little detour out of Romans chapter 12, where we're going to connect it to Romans 12. But we're going to take a little detour out of that this morning and have the opportunity to talk about what the Spirit does in the midst of our lives. And so we're going to be just kind of easing on into this, talking about juicy fruit. You're going to want to have that outline there on your lap and something to write with so that you can take down a couple of notes here and there. Of course, what am I referring to? I'm referring to the end of Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and it says, every follower of Christ should use their Spirit-given giftedness according to the measure, expanded later in verse 6 as in proportion to, or up to the capacities to, the faith that God has assigned to them. What a weird way of putting it. That you are supposed to use your giftedness, you're supposed to express what God has done in your life in a way that is in proportion to your faith. Some of us who are pessimistic just go, hey, God, don't give me much faith, then I don't have much to do. Others of us are like, God's infinite, He's giving me everything, I've just got to do everything. But what does this mean? What does it mean in the Word of God when it says that we're supposed to function in that way, whether your Spirit-led gifts are prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, or mercy, as Romans 12 goes on to say, you and I are to serve God measured by our faith in Him. So let's just get practical. How does that work? How does it work? How do my talents and my Spirit-giftedness, how does that all work together? What's that supposed to look like? How do I know which is which and what is what? We answer those questions. We encounter a very important scriptural distinction that I have to highlight at this point in order to explain the answer to how we serve according to the measure of our faith. That distinction is between spiritual giftedness and spiritual fruitfulness. Kate, separate those two things in your mind for a little bit. We'll bring them back together later. We've got spiritual fruit and we've got spiritual gifts. Two different things in the Bible. They're two different things, but because they're spoken of as kind of in the same locations, because they're spoken of in similar ways, we have a tendency to mix them up. And so today, I want to make sure that you have got clarity on these two things. Why? Because I do believe that this teaching from the Word of God, what God has to say about the way that you are gifted by Him spiritually for spiritual things, the way that you are given the fruit of the Spirit so that you can live fruitfully, that to understand these things is to live a more free and abundant and flourishing life. And I would hope that when you come to church on a Sunday morning, that you walk away feeling like, you know what? I'm more prepared to live a more abundant, flourishing, gifted, Spirit-filled kind of life. I hope that you are motivated, inspired, that when you read the Word of God, you are not reading it just for the sake of knowledge as you would, you know, a news site or as you would a book, but that you are reading it because it gets inside of us and it changes us. So let's talk about how we will separate these things. I'm going to give you two definitions. Now, for those of you that are at home, thank you. Which camera's on? That one? Thank you for inviting me into your living room. You get the advantage of having this on your screen. Those of you that are here, you should pull out something to write with, because I'm going to give you definitions of spiritual gifts and spiritual fruit right now. If you're not a note taker, listen intently. I don't take notes when I listen. I just focus, and so Spiritual gifts, which is what talks about in Romans 12, are the outward ways we express our salvation. Spiritual gifts in the Bible are the stuff that you are empowered to do by the Spirit of God to build up one another and to build up His church. Spiritual gifts are the stuff that you do, empowered by the Spirit, to build up His church and to build up one another. And by the way, those are kind of synonymous, right? When you become a follower of Christ, you are the church. The church is not a building, it's a people. And so we build one another up, and as we do, we build up the church. I know there's a lot of mixed metaphors and all of that, but just follow along. This is what it means to be spiritually gifted. It's to be gifted to build one another up, to build up the church of Jesus Christ for the sake of the kingdom of God, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our love and adoration for all that God has done in our lives. And it is the outward expression of our salvation. Spiritual fruit. Different thing. Change slides in your head. Spiritual fruit are the internal character qualities of salvation. They're the internal character qualities of salvation. The soul transforming work of the Spirit of God within the heart and soul, which authenticates, it's very important, it authenticates genuine faith in the lives of all Christ's followers. The Bible literally says that if a person is a believer in Christ, you will know them by their fruit. By their gifts? No. You will know them by their fruit. It authenticates salvation. To put it simply, and just to put it in like a single sentence, gifts are what you do. Fruit is who you are. Gifts is what you do. Fruit is who you are. Why is that important? Well, there's a lot of reasons that that's important. Why am I talking about this? Just so that you could be really good at Bible trivial pursuit and that kind of thing? No. It's important for a lot of reasons, but probably the first and most significant is that spiritual fruit is more significant than spiritual gifts. Christian, please do not miss this. Your spiritual fruitfulness is more important than your spiritual giftedness. Do not be impressed by someone's gifts. They were given to them by the Spirit. You can be impressed by their fruitfulness as it's given by the Spirit, because what that means is the Spirit of God is alive inside of that person. Spiritual fruit cannot be faked. Spiritual gifts can. Spiritual fruit is what is most important in the kingdom of God. Spiritual gifts, while they are significant and they are important, and we will talk about them in the weeks that are ahead, while they're important, they are not as significant as spiritual fruit. Jesus explains it this way. You know, there's confusion. Just go back to the Gospels, right? Many of the things Jesus says make you just wonder what he was talking about. They make you kind of dig deeper. But he was pretty clear about spiritual fruit. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's also speaking to the teachers that are around him. And he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Can I just pause here? Sometimes I don't make comments about political things, you know, from the pulpit. Sometimes I don't make comments about things that are going on in our culture from the pulpit, because I feel like they're very distracting. But in the last few weeks, it's been made national news that a Christian and Missionary Alliance national evangelist named Ravi Zacharias, it turns out after his death, it's been revealed that he was a ravenous wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. He was taking advantage of women terribly. And in so doing, the fruit of his life is one not of what we thought was someone who was accurate to the gospel, but one who was a ravenous wolf. That's what I'm talking about. Now, see, this is something inside the church, so I'm going to comment on it. I don't feel like it's distracting. You need to know that sometimes what you see on the outside can be faked. But what's really going on in the heart of a person, which is what God cares about, it's what God is doing in your life, it's what matters. That cannot be faked. But there is only one authenticator, and that is God Himself. He is the one who judges our lives. He is the one you stand in front of. You can fake out everybody here, and it does not matter. It amounts to nothing. Fantastic, you fooled me. Way to go. You swear like a sailor, you pull into the parking lot, and suddenly you turn into a saint. You can fake it all you want. But when you stand before God, you will not stand before God with what you faked. You will stand before God with who you are. And you either belong to Christ and your fruitful life comes from Him, or you are false and thrown into the fire. Okay, I got super excited after the first verse, so I got to keep going here. Beware of these false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? I know nothing about grapes or figs or any of that kind of thing. Fig Newtons and, you know, grapes are all I get at the supermarket. But here's the bottom line. It's a rhetorical question and the answer is no. You obviously don't get fruitful things from unfruitful trees or bushes. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree, it bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. I know some of you freak out at that. Oh my gosh. The bad stuff gets thrown into the fire. Does that mean I'm going to hell? You know, in these stories, sometimes they use fire as an illustration of just stuff being burned up. It doesn't mean you're going to hell. That's not what's in view here. What's talking about is who you are and what you do, what flows out from the heart of the person. So dial down the fear of hell, because sometimes that can be very distracting for us. Dial up your concern that every single one of us that are here have tried to fake it till we make it. We've tried to pretend that we are better than we are. We sometimes put on an outward appearance of having it all together, when inwardly we are shattered and broken and a mess. And we'd just rather not deal with the truth, so we just act like we want to be. All of us, universally, are guilty of this. Which means these verses are for us, because that stuff that we do on the outside, where we're just kind of faking it, it's just going to get cut off and burned. It counts for nothing. It's just dried up old wood. It's going to be thrown into the fire. In the parallel account of this story in the book of Luke, Jesus noted that the words coming from our mouths actually reveal our character. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Explains it in Matthew 12. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified. Your words authenticate what's going on in the midst of your heart. And by your words, you will be condemned. What's this trying to bring together? That what happens in our hearts comes out in ways in our lives. And oftentimes only on the people that are closest to us. Maybe just with those that are in our family. The character of our hearts is expressed as fruitfulness in the Bible. You can have fruit of God's Spirit because you've trusted your life. You've trusted and entrusted your life to the life and death of Jesus Christ. Or you can have what the Bible calls the fruit of just your own flesh. Now, when I use the word flesh, sometimes that turns into like sexual immorality, and that's all you can think of. This is a broader term in the Bible. The flesh is just anything that exists in this world that takes our reverence, attention, and worship away from God. You can have the fruit of your own flesh, the inner character of the person who has not submitted their life to God and lives according to their own measure, not God's measure of faith, but their own measure, according to what is most sensible to them and for the good of their own lives as they see fit. Jesus said, Matthew 13, as for what was sown in the good soil, those things that are seed in our lives that are thrown into good soil, this is the person or the one who hears the word and understands it. Reads, understands at that time, because so many people didn't read. You hear Jesus say what? The person that just listens and hears. Because it's just a little bit more verbal culture, a little bit more oral tradition, a little bit more of the conversations and sharing stories with one another of what was going on. The one who hears the word and understands it and is planted in good soil, indeed that person bears fruit and yields in some cases a hundredfold. One seed, a hundred different, or a hundred fold, a multiplication of a hundred times that one plant, that one seed that goes into the ground, it's planted in good soil, so it produces a hundredfold of what it was originally designed for. And another 60, and another 30. What does it mean? Whatever character qualities in your heart, whatever they are, whatever the qualities that are going on in your heart, they multiply. They multiply and they come out in your life. And they don't come out just secretly, a little, you know, peach pit here, a little spit out a seed there. They come out like juicy, plump fruit that you eat that drips down the chin onto the face of the person. You wear it. When you get put under pressure, you wear the fruitfulness of your life. Fruit cannot be contained. It leaks out. It can even splash and kind of squirt out and hit the people that are closest to you. Sometimes that's wonderful. Other times it's acid. Fruit reveals the truth of your heart. I don't care if you fool every person that is here and all the others in your life. This is not a question from a pastor to someone in his congregation or a guest or someone that's watching online. This is a question from the Lord to you. What's truly in your heart? Who truly guides and owns your heart? The Bible emphasizes, as it teaches us about fruitfulness, the character that's inside of us, and giftedness, the things that we do that are outside of us. The Bible emphasizes that in these things, God's people are united together, that there is a oneness of unity under the Spirit of God. When the Spirit comes into people's lives, He unifies them together. We consider others more important than ourselves. We carry ourselves with humility and do not think too highly of ourselves. We rather choose to serve others when we could justify being served. Even when we feel like, you know, I kind of deserve it. We choose what Jesus chose. Despite deserving it, He chose to do what? Serve others, even serving them to the point of death. Serving them so completely that He gave His very life. We live, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, a wonderful passage, but those first few verses are what I'm referring to. We live as one harmonious body. So even though there's a bunch of us here, we live in harmony, in unity together. One Spirit in our lives who unites. One hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, and by His Spirit, He is the one that is in all of us that belong to Jesus Christ. I think it's 2 Corinthians 3. I have a Bible. Look at that. I can look. What a concept. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's, by the way, it's 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. And we all, with unveiled face, in other words, with nothing separating you, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. You are being transformed, changed from one place to the next as you behold the unveiled face of Jesus Christ. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Father God, who is all and is in all who belong to Him. It's authenticated in our lives by the unity of the fruit which comes from the Spirit of God. Why do I say that? It's a crucial. I think there's two things that are coming up that I just bleed for, really, truly. And one of them is this. The authentication of life in Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit that comes from the Spirit of God. Well, let me read the passage that many of you that have been around the church for a while know so well. Galatians chapter 5, right? The fruit of the Spirit passage, Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I wish I could skip the next one. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. Hey, you want to know my struggle? There it is. Self-control. You cut me off in traffic, something animalistic pops up inside of me. It's totally my flesh. My wife tells me, hey, you can't fix that. Let's invite my dad over. He can fix it. Whoa, look out. No man comes in this house and fix something. That's me. Or the contractor that I will hire. I will not be your father. Right? I get crazy. I share these things because you ought to know that every believer at every stage of life struggles with different things that are on this list. But I want you to see something that is profound, I think. At least it has been in my life. It's easy to miss in English. Yeah, I've mentioned it so many times. I'm just going to get to it. The phrase fruit of the Spirit is, that phrase right there at the beginning, fruit of the Spirit is singular. The fruit that it's speaking of is one fruit. It's not speaking of, woo, look, there's a multiplicity of fruit running around. It's saying there's one fruit that is the Spirit of God in your life. Okay, now don't miss this. One baptism, one Lord, one Jesus, one hope, one glory, one church, one body, one people, one God, one fruit. All of this is meant to display a oneness that is a unity. Don't get stuck on like one being a number, like, oh, there's only one fruit. Look, it's a pear. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the oneness, the unity that exists in the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, behold, O Israel, hear, O Israel. The Lord your God is one. He is a unity. He's called you into fellowship with Him. His name is Yahweh. And He's welcoming you into His presence. There's a oneness in the fruit of the Spirit that is easy to miss. That there's only one fruit that we're talking about here. It's not a list that we get to make selections on. We don't look at that list and go, you know, hey, I'm great with love. And joy is a little weird, so maybe not. Peace, I'm not doing patience. Kindness, goodness, right? That's how it is. How tempting is it in our lives when we're impatient or we lose our cool to just go, hey, it's just who I am. That's just the way I am. I don't ever say that to me, by the way. You literally, there's my animalistic spiritual instinct. I will tell you right to your nose, don't tell me that's just the way you are. That may be the way you were, but this is the way you are. This is your new nature. This is the fruitfulness of one who is controlled by the Spirit. This is the one who submits to the Spirit of God in their life. That other stuff, that's the old person. The unsaved guy. The one that ran his own life and did his own thing. The one that was living according to whatever made sense to them. They were living sensibly, logically, reasonably, but they were not living spiritually. The Bible says that at that time you were spiritually dead in your sin and separation from God. And only by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and only by receiving that sacrifice as counting for your life, and literally switching it out, your sin for His life, do you now get to possess the Spirit of God that brings the fruitfulness of God into the heart and soul of who you are. You may have been that way before, but no longer. You are no longer that man or woman. You are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. What God is doing is increasing in more and in greater and in more expansive ways in each one of our lives. The Spirit of God is doing all these things. And He's doing so much more. So much more than just this little list of nine fruit that are listed here. Is it seven? I think it is. Nine. You get stuck on seven in the Bible occasionally. So, in other passages, too many to enumerate this morning, the Bible speaks about the fruitfulness of purity, the fruitfulness of making peace with other people, that part of the fruit of the Spirit is being open to reason and counsel from other people, having mercy for others, showing impartial judgment, having sincerity, worshiping the Lord in song from a melody that you make in your heart, with hymns, with psalms, and in spiritual songs. Those are three different kinds of music. Do you, Christian, get to say, I only sing hymns? That's it. I'm only doing... The Spirit of God says that making melody in your heart is hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. Learn them. Expand in them. Don't just stand there and wait for the music to be over. We are inviting you every week into the presence of fruitful living in the Lord. These are all ways that God says are examples of the stuff that the Spirit of God does in the heart of the person, in the character of the person, on the deepest places on the inside. All of these are the work of the Spirit. We grow in the image of God, our hope, our strength, our breath, our soul. We sang about it earlier. All of our lives are being transformed to the heart of Christ. All of it by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ promised, I will not leave you alone. I'm leaving to go and prepare a place for you, but I am not leaving you alone. The very Spirit that has dwelt inside of Christ now dwells inside of you and I. But you know what we do not have from God's Spirit? God's Spirit does kind of hold out on us at the same time. Gives us all that fruit. Conforms us. Transforms us to the image of God. But we are not all given the same spiritual gifts. You and I are not gifted in the same way. Spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit according to the needs of the church. And while they work in harmony, while there's a oneness that comes from it, by definition, they are like facets that are on a diamond. Have you ever looked really looked at a diamond and the different facets that are on it, if you look at it from different angles, you see different colors, different things. It's all the same diamond, but it's got a variegated beauty to it, a wonder that each and every facet kind of reflects. Each shine the glory of God in a unique and colorful manner. Fruit is for everyone. It authenticates salvation. Gifts, however, are diverse, and they are meant to serve and to build His church. You might hear teaching at times. I just was sent a video by somebody from a teacher that was saying things that sounded, they were leaning the wrong way on this particular aspect of the Spirit. You might hear teaching at times saying that there are some gifts that everybody has to have. That you're not a Christian if you don't have certain spiritual gifts. Hey, believer in Christ, that should just send a flag up in your head. Wait a minute. If everybody had the same gifts, what purpose is there to the gifts? If everybody has the same gifts, you know what we call those? Fruit. That's what we call those. We would call them a character quality. We would call it something that the Spirit of God is doing inside of everybody. By definition, the spiritual gifts are not the same for everybody. Just ignore them. You might hear a teacher say that everyone has to show a certain gift. Perhaps you've attended a church where they've taught that everybody needs to speak in tongues. Or everybody will be healed if they just have enough faith. Or you can do anything if you just... Really? Seriously. I've got a seriously loud voice, but this siren is killing me right now. Thank you. Thank you, sister. I don't know who that was. All right. I taught my children when they were young that when they heard sirens, to pray for the people. So that's what we should be doing. You might have heard teaching that says everybody should be healed. All people should be healed if they just have enough faith. Or you can do anything in Christ, right? That's what, there's a verse in the Bible that says, anything that you ask the Father for, He will give to you. You just ask in my name. But what's the problem? What's the basic issue that's at play? We've taken giftedness and we've taken fruitfulness and we've started to make them the same thing. And if you take your gifts and you try as an individual or as a church, if you try to take some of those and say that everybody has to have them, in this weird, strange way, it ends up enslaving people. You ever talk to somebody that has not been healed by God and just feels like they need more faith? They're miserable. We all see in the Bible, I mean, the Apostle Paul himself, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, prayed that God would heal him from a thorn in the flesh, and God didn't do it. You think Paul walked around just going, man, I just need more faith. Dude had every spiritual gift. The apostles are the only people in the Bible that had every spiritual gift. They were a complete church all by themselves. They could walk into town, they had every spiritual gift. They could use all of them. They could kind of just get everybody going. And then when they stepped out, different people had different giftings. But this like super apostle person would go to the next town, plant another church, use all those spiritual gifts. But what did he leave behind? A bunch of individuals that had to work in unity and harmony with one another in their giftedness in order to express Christ Jesus. Why? Because as Pastor Scott spoke about this morning in our confession, God experiences His glory when it is reflected in all the different facets. All the different facets that you are in the beauty that is the diamond of the church. Gifts are not universal. They're selective by the Spirit for the church. Fruit is universal. It is the Spirit in the church. It is the heart of God's people. If you mix them up, it creates pressure and slavery. It's slavery to an impossible standard that none of us can live by. But life in the Spirit, like I read from 2 Corinthians 3, life in the Spirit is freedom. It brings freedom. And we are being changed from glory to glory. Hearts that are transformed. Character that is renewed. Some of you have got stubborn, old-time sin in the midst of your life. And you wonder, do I really believe in God? Because I still struggle with this thing, with this sin, with this stumbling block in the midst of my life. Am I really saved? Well, you know, I'd probably say that if you're even asking yourself that question, you know, it's the Spirit of God in your life pulling you in the right direction. But don't lose hope. If the Spirit of God is alive inside of you, He is bringing about the change and the wonder of a person transformed. Don't give up. Don't just decide, you know what, too much for me. I'm just going to act one way when I'm out here, and I'm going to act a different way when I'm around people that I need to. You can imagine what that would be like if I told my wife, you know, I'm going to be really faithful to you when I'm with you, but like when I'm not with you, I just can't be faithful. Well, I'm going to be nice to all of you, but when I'm at home, I'm going to beat up my kids. Like when they disobey. Only on days that end with Y, but whatever. No. The Spirit brings unity to our lives, even to our own lives, so that we would live in the oneness of the Spirit, whether we are public or we are private. Whether it's something that no one else sees or it's something that everyone sees. Only the fruit of the Spirit brings that kind of freedom in our lives. If you are living in slavery to sin or to struggle, I call you back to the Spirit of God to be transformed from the inside out. You don't need to act as though you've got it all together. Nobody here has it all together. Not one of us. I'm not asking you to just verbally vomit all over me or everybody else about all of your problems. All right? There's social etiquette. But you choose your people. And you draw those people close. And you walk with God authentically, transparently, and truthfully. Because that's the environment that the Bible says we are transformed in. We release our obsession with living our best life. Oh my gosh. Get off Instagram. Close Facebook. That is not your best life. Quit taking 100 pictures to find the one where you look really good. We release our obsession with living our best life in this world and instead embrace and celebrate living crucified lives marked by the blood of Jesus, marked by His sacrifice. And we live out His sacrifice and we pour out our own blood for the sake of the gospel, knowing that it is our only hope. It's our only hope for freedom. It is our only hope. Hear me. I know how easy it is to get in your car and just put your Bible on the floor of the passenger seat and drive out of the parking lot and literally forget everything that we've talked about. You guys pull out of the parking lot once, maybe twice a week. I do it 7 different times. I know how easy it is. Trust me. This is our only hope. The blood and sacrifice of Jesus. It's the only thing that brings authentic change. That comes from the inside to the outside. As Jesus said, you'll know the health of the tree by the fruit that it produces. What fruit? What fruit is God enjoying from the tree of your life? Right after He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He transitions, and I find the transition so interesting. Paul says, right after, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all that, he goes forward and he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And don't they burn bright? I think it's why he goes right at it. This is the fruit of the Spirit. If you actually read the whole passage, you'll also see the fruits of the flesh, so to speak. And by the way, you can have fruit that is bad. You can have bad fruit that comes out in your life. There's good fruit that comes from the Spirit. There's bad fruit that can come from the world, the flesh, the things that are our own thing. There's two different. You'll never see a gift of the flesh. You only see gifts of the Spirit. There's no gifts of the flesh. That's death. You know what the gifts of the Spirit are? Oh man, there's so many. We'll talk about it next week. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I think it's beautiful. You're not chasing after the Spirit like, oh, come back. You left me. You saved me, and then you're gone. In step. What's the picture? The Spirit of God links arms with you, and He walks with you in step. Right there. Have you ever walked next to somebody and you're out of step with them? You're like, come on, I got to get my feet right. We walk in step. When you're holding hands with somebody, you walk in step. You fall into step with that person. This is the Spirit of God in the midst of our lives as He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures. Walking in step with God's Spirit means that salvation is not a one and done experience in our lives. We need to be people who return constantly to the cross of Christ, and not just on the first Sunday of the month. We need to return to the cross of Christ in our homes. We need to return to the cross of Christ in our workplace, in our vocations, everywhere. Every breath we take. As Brother Lawrence coined, every breath submitted to the Lord. We need to be people who return to the cross, to His sacrifice, to His heart of love and mercy, and be reminded. Be reminded so that we can embrace what it means to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. We don't make that stuff up on our own. We look to the cross. It is our true north, and it is also south, east, and west. It is the whole of our lives that we would also embody being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, as we worship Him with true spiritual fruit, the transformation and the renewal of our minds, hearts, souls, from the inner to the outer. We will celebrate in the giftedness of God, but before we can, we must celebrate in the body, in the blood, in the salvation of Jesus Christ. One of our elders, Brian Nastasi, is coming up right now. I love this guy. Listen to him. I love them all, but I love this guy. Listen to him carefully. Thanks, Brian.
Good morning. It's time to take communion together. So if you would take the elements out and get them prepared. If you're with us in the parking lot today, you can get those bags. And if you happen to miss the communion, Yvonne's coming around right now, and you can just flag her down, and she will get those to you. If you're at home with us, you're welcome to join with us in communion as well. As Chris said, those of us who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we really belong to Christ, then all those fruits of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit that Chris talked about, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control, all those things should be exemplified in all of our interactions. In every interaction that we take that we have with people in our lives, at work, in our families, online, all of our thoughts, all of our attitudes, all of our actions, all of those things should be transformed. And so as we come to communion, it's an opportunity to crucify ourselves with that, to crucify that flesh, to join in lockstep with the Spirit as we ask the Lord to seek out all those things in our heart that are not of Him, to help point us out or point out to us all those things that are not of Him, and seek those things out. Last week, my daughter Ellie, she confronted me. She said that I've been spending too much time on screens, on my phone, and not spending enough time listening to her. When your 7-year-old says that to you, that's the voice of the Lord. That's the voice of the Lord saying, "Hey, we got to do something about this." So, we as a family, we said, we're going to take a day. So last Sunday we said it's a no screen day. And we put away our phones. We did no watching TV, no computers, no nothing. And it's a beautiful day, because we followed in what God was calling us to do. We tried to get in lockstep with what the Spirit was calling us to do. So as we come to communion today, may you ask the Lord as well to call you out on some of those things that are not of the Lord. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you think of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Go ahead and take communion with those around you in your family, and do it in remembrance of him.